Good morning, everybody. How are you? Good to see you. Good to see you. Today's going to be a bit, little bit different than we normally do it, and there's a couple reasons why. First, we're going to talk about what we're doing here through song on a Sunday morning, and then we're going to do a little family business time. We're going to have some people come up here and join me, and we're going to talk, and then we'll be done for the morning. And the reason why I'm setting this up is we're going to make a little bit of a shift here at First B, and you'll hear that going forward. But first, I want to, before we talk about that, before we do that little bit of family business, I want to just set up and remind us where we've been for the last few weeks. We've been in this series we're calling Foundations and Who We Are. We started off with what is the church? And when we say what is the church, we're really talking about who is the church. And the church are all of those that have come to faith in Jesus Christ, those who believe in the life of Christ that was lived perfectly by him in obedience to the Father, who then died on a cross on behalf of us, taking away our sin and our guilt and our shame and defeating it in his death and then rising once again, defeating Satan, sin, and death. And now he reigns at the right hand of God the Father on high, in control of all things, offering his gift of grace to all that might believe. And then the second week, we actually talked about the purpose of the church. And we talked about that day that the purpose of the church is to glorify God. And so when we pursue God, when we love one another, we glorify him. And when we do those things, then ultimately we can't help but talk about this God that is changing and transforming us. And we tell it to the world, and we glorify God by making disciples, by loving one another, by loving the poor and the marginalized, and by being the church. It's a beautiful thing. And then the next week, we talked about what it means to be the church. What are the marks of the church? And we talked about two different things that day. We talked about preaching and how preaching is the act of declaring the gospel to God's people that we might respond in faith to him and be encouraged in his love for us and that to the world. And with that, though, if we can't hear it through the preaching of the word, we also do it through the sacraments. And when I say sacraments, it's a big word that just means the Lord's Supper and baptism. And through those two things, we actually get to see a visual representation of what happens in the gospel. When we get baptized, we are made new by the gospel of Jesus Christ, by the Holy Spirit. He cleanses us of our sin, of our shame, of our guilt, and he makes us alive with Christ. And then when we take of the Lord's Supper, we are reminded of that reality that I have been made new. My sin has been washed away and my shame is gone. And that he is the ultimate author and perfecter of my faith. And we get to do that when we gather every week. And last week, Mark did a great job talking. And what he said worship was is that worship is a response. Worship is a response, and it's not how we want it, but it's how God wants it. And I think when we were preaching through Exodus, and the Israelites go to Mount Sinai, and they're sitting there before the Lord, waiting for his instructions and to worship him. What do you think would happen if one of the Israelites were like, God, this is not exactly, standing at the bottom of the foot of Mount Sinai, God, this is not exactly how I think we should do this? How do you think that would go for them? Probably not well. In fact, it wouldn't go well. But worship is the response to God, where we humbly submit ourselves before the King of the universe, and he decides both how we get to worship him, because he is worthy to be worshiped, right? And so today we're going to just talk about what we are doing here when we sing songs this morning. And so when we are talking about the marks of the church and preaching, we use this definition. We gather on Sundays to encourage and be encouraged in the gospel, that we might go out with the message of the gospel. And when I say we're encouraged in the gospel, you know why it's awesome to sit up here at the front row? Is because when we sing these songs, you are singing the gospel over me. We don't just preach the gospel when we stand up here, we read from the word, we preach the word, we preach the gospel, we declare the goodness of God in the gospel of Jesus Christ, but we actually do that when we sing songs like Come Thou Fount, when we sing the doxology every time Andy leads at the end. I all know you know that, right? We declare the gospel to ourselves. Because when I can't hear it, I need somebody to sing it over me. And so when we gather on Sundays, we gather to encourage and be encouraged in the gospel, and that happens through music, it happens through the word preached, and it also just happens in our relationships, one-on-one, where we can pray for each other, we can get to know one another, we can care and encourage and push and hold and cry and all of these things together. We get to do that in the gospel, so that way we can leave from this place encouraged in God's love for us, that we might be the salt and the light in the world that is around us because of the great hope that we have in Jesus Christ. And so the verse that we use kind of as the theme of what we do when we gather is Hebrews 10, 23 through 25. Let us hold fast the confession of our hope without wavering, for he who promised is faithful. And let us consider how to stir one another to love and good works, not neglecting to meet together, as is the habit of some, but encouraging one another, and all the more as you see the day drawing near. So again, we want to encourage one another as we see the day drawing near and God's love for us. And so there are two ways we do that here through song, right? Two of the things that we hold fast to here at First B in our corporate worship is, number one, we want to glorify God and build one another up through song. Ephesians 5, 18 through 21, it says, "And do not get drunk with wine, for that is debauchery, but be filled with the Spirit, addressing one another in psalms and hymns and spiritual songs, singing and making melody to the Lord with your heart, giving thanks always for everything to God the Father in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ, submitting to one another out of reverence for Christ." When we submit to one another, we love one another, when we sing songs together about the goodness of God, we glorify Him. And that is our ultimate purpose when we gather here on a Sunday morning, to experience the gospel and to glorify God in Christ. The foundation of our worship culture here is Christ and His glory alone. He is the bedrock and cornerstone upon which everything in our local church is established. Styles, methods, and cultures change, but the foundation of Jesus Christ and His glory will never be altered. Within this context, we see a call to submit to one another out of reverence for Christ in our singing to the Lord with all of our hearts. And here it is. This is complicated because we all have preferences. But what we see in the Christian faith is that our life is to be lived for others to God. And this includes laying aside our preferences for the good of the body because that results in the glory of God. That is truly loving one another. We read this verse all the time. It's John 13, 34 through 35. "A new command I give to you, that you love one another just as I have loved you. You also are to love one another. By this, all people will know that you are my disciples if you have love for one another." And so when we come into this place and we submit ourselves to God, and as a result of submitting ourselves to God and we are humbled before Him, we're able to come in here without any preconceived notion, any expectation, and just go, "God, what do you have for me?" Which is what Mark preached about last week. What do you have for me, and how am I going to experience your love in the gospel for me and for us together today? And so the second reason why we gather and what we're doing here on a Sunday morning, and this is where our family business kind of comes into place, is we gather for the general unity of our church. Ephesians 4, 1 through 6, it says, "I therefore, a prisoner for the Lord, urge you to walk in a manner worthy of the calling to which you have been called. All humility and gentleness, with patience, bearing with one another in love, eager to maintain the unity of the Spirit in the bond of peace. there is one body and one Spirit, just as you were called to the one hope that belongs to your call, one Lord, one faith, one baptism, one God and Father of all, who is over all and through all and in all. Who are we? We are First Baptist Church of Durango. We are one church with one Lord and one Savior who has been abundantly gracious to us. And because of those things, over the last couple years, the elders, the guys who have walked off the board recently, have been looking at how we view some things in our church, especially corporate worship time, and we want to move in a direction of unity. And here's the thing, this doesn't affect you guys in the same way. Holy moly. I think I'll be okay. We want to move in direction of unity. And again, I don't think this affects you guys in the same way that it affects the 9 o'clock, but you need to be reminded of what we are here for. As weird as it is, like through this whole sermon series, it's been way harder to preach to you guys, the 10:45, than it is to the 9. Because really, the 9 o'clock, man, they are dutiful. And you know what I mean? Like generally, that congregation tends to be older. They are grounded in church culture, in a sense, which is not a bad thing, and they are going to be here, and you know what they need to do is they need to be reminded of the function of the church. The 10:45 tends to be a bit different, if you didn't know. And if you don't, if you've been to both services in the past, you know Jeff and I will preach differently in the 9 o'clock than we do in the 10:45, which is what makes this kind of talk right now even weirder, because it's almost completely opposite and completely different than the first time. Because you need to be reminded of what we're doing here and why we're doing it. Whereas in the first service, we had to do some family business and go, hey, things are going to be a bit different around here for the sake of unity. But that doesn't mean you don't have skin in the game. That doesn't mean we won't feel it. And so again, over the last couple of years, this isn't a process that we've just kind of dreamed up in our minds over the last month, but it's actually something that started when we had meetings about Mission 2018 2 years ago. And then even 2 Mays ago, we sat down with Robert and had a conversation, and then, you know, it's been progressing over the last couple months. But this is the decision the elders here at First B have come to. The elders at First B have decided to move the corporate gatherings of our church from 2 different worship styles in the 9 and the 10:45 services to 1 unified musical footprint. The desired style would be modern instrumentation with a mix of hymns and modern songs that are sensitive to the congregation as a whole. You know how when we preach, and I was saying we hear different things? That needs to be over, because we are one church, united together in the bonds of Christ, brought together as a family here specifically in Durango for the glory of God. And what better thing to declare to the world around us, especially Durango, that Christians are going to put aside their differences and preferences for the good of the body and for the glory of his name, right? That is the hope and that is the goal. And this is from me. This is not from the elders necessarily. But I say, I believe that this is the best thing, and this is what somebody texted me last night, and I just stole it. I believe this is the best thing that we can do for the future and the health of our church. Our worship music should not be traditional or contemporary, but timeless. When we sing songs of praise, we join, and here, listen to this, we join with generations of Christians from all of time, for 2,000 years, around the throne of God, worshiping him through the Spirit of God, in an act that transcends time, place, style, and generation. Isn't that an incredible thing? That's what we're doing here on a Sunday morning. And I'm going to read just some of the whys from the elders that we have written on a piece of paper. You can grab it in the back. But these are the whys that we came up with. Worship is for the one worshipped, not for the worshiper. Worship is not about our preferences, but uniting together to sing the praises of God's grace together. And this is, I think, what I would say is the primary driver, and really supports number one. But number two, it's to counteract the impression that the services are distinct or competing groups of people. The different styles of worship create a feeling of us versus them, which is not the goal of the church. And again, I don't think any of this was intentional. I don't even think that that's necessarily the heart of people, but from somebody looking in from the outside, it's like, well, they are two different groups of people because really it's preferences. And so Andy, in fact, Andy Janowski sent me an email from a book that he was reading, and I just take some time to listen to this as I read it, but it's about a church that did a similar thing in the past, and it says this: at one time, our church had a traditional service and a separate contemporary service. That approach increasingly troubled me. We were telling people that they were consumers to be catered to, not intergenerational worshipers gathered at God's throne. We were saying, if you want to sing your own music to the exclusion of everyone else's, that's fine. We'll cater to you. If you want to enjoy your one small slice of musical preference while rejecting all others, that's fine. We'll cater to you. If you want to ignore, and what's funny is, I read this both to Preston and to Mark and a couple others in the week leading up to this, and this was the one that hit everybody the most. If you want to ignore 2,000 years of heritage, or if you want to neglect a whole new generation of young worshipers, not a problem. We'll cater to you. If you want to be among the most narrow worshipers in the history of Christianity and only sing the constricted little grouping of songs that you happen to like, fine. We'll cater to you. Young worshipers need the legacy of the great hymns, and old worshipers need the exuberance of fresh praise. Right? And that's what we hope to accomplish. We want to see God do those things in our midst. We want to humbly submit to one another in love. We want to worship God together as a united body. And here's the thing for you guys, because this is a different thing. I didn't read a couple of these in the first service because it doesn't pertain to them in the same way. But this gives you guys an opportunity, too, that you've not had before. Some of you, well, honestly, some of you come to this service because you just don't want to wake up in the morning, right? Some of you come because you want contemporary worship, or as contemporary as we make it. For another reason and another thing that I think this will do, and another thing that I think we come to this service for, is because maybe we want to go to Sunday school, or we already have plans, or whatnot. But for you guys, what this gives you an opportunity to do is twofold. It gives you an opportunity, honestly, if you have interest, to be able to participate in Drew Sunday School class, okay? This opens up the opportunity for all of our church to be able to go, you know what, it doesn't matter what service I go to because I'm going to hear the same music, and so I can be equipped and fed in a different way during Sunday school that I wasn't before. It gives you that opportunity that you didn't feel like you had before. And then secondarily, honestly, if you come to the 9, you can use the rest of your day for mission, right? And what do I mean by that? Guess what? If you're going to go skiing, come to church, worship the Lord, be with God's people, and then take your buddy skiing for the rest of the day and introduce him to the grace and the glory of God. Because now you don't have a barrier of, I don't know if I want to go hear those songs, which that in itself is the wrong frame of mind. That's the wrong heart. But utilize the opportunity that we're hopefully presenting to you for really for the glory of God's name and for the unity of our church. And honestly, maybe more and more people will be able to come in here and worship with one body together in the 9 and 10:45 that love God and are worshiping his name together, whether you're 90 or 7. That's an incredible opportunity that we have. And so now, just to talk about this a little bit more, I asked a couple of the folks that this would actually impact the most if they would come up and chat with me for a minute. So Mark and Denise and Robert. Do you have that microphone I gave to your wife? Perfect. Oh, wow. Sneaky. Grab that one. All right, so if you didn't know, This is Denise Huggins. How long have you been at this church, Denise?
45 years.
Right. This is Robert. If you don't know Robert, he helps lead the 9 o'clock service and worship. And you know Mark.
Welcome, Mark. Let's
just lighten the mood a little bit. All right, so what I want to start with, though, is when you heard about just kind of how we were working through this process a little, what was your initial impression? We'll just start there for all of you, because, again, really, what we're talking about, it affects all of us, but stylistically it affects the 9 o'clock service the most. So if you want to.
Well, because my husband has been on the elder board for a long time, he retired in January, but consequently, I've been hearing this talked about for a couple of years. And to tell you the truth, when I first heard about it, I thought, no way is this ever going to happen. You are not going to take our hymns away from us, because that's what I saw it as, is taking our hymns away from us. No way are you going to do this. It's not going to work. I'm not going to do this. You can't tell that I don't like change, can you? But that's the way I reacted to it. But over time, with having a chance to pray through things, to think through things, to have God work in my heart, I realized that maybe this is something I needed to give a little consideration to. And I started realizing that it didn't need to be only one or only the other, but that it could be, some people don't like this word, but I'm sorry, I do, a blending.
I don't like that word.
He doesn't like it. That's why I said it, just for him. It could be a blending of the two. It could be a combination of both types of songs. And so as I was able to think through things and talk with Robert about it and get his reactions to it, because Robert and I have been doing this for a very, very long time together.
Since 1981.
That's a long time.
It's 3 years before I was born.
Oh, gee, you poor baby. Poor baby. But I realized that this is something that I could get on board with. This is something that I could be excited about, and I am.
I forgot the question. Ask it again.
What were your initial impressions as we talked about this, as you worked through? We worked through this process.
Yeah, I think, you know, initially it was, I didn't like it, only because I'm just comfortable with what I've been doing for the last 45 years. You know, and then praying through it, last May, I guess, was really the shift for me. We talked about it. When did we talk about it, Jeff? 12 years ago, whatever. And so just thinking through the spaces, May was probably the time that I really started to just say, Lord, what do you want to do? So, and how do I participate in that? And so probably August then when we really started to put the three of us, or I don't know how many were, the three of us for sure and whoever else was involved with it, together. I moved away from being anxious about it because I didn't like it to being anxious about it because I was excited and didn't know what was going to happen. I think that's a transition for me. I love leading worship. That's something I've done for a very long time, and I've thoroughly enjoyed it for a very long time. And yet the instrumentation pieces was changing most dramatically. And when you add all these pieces in, it makes leading more complicated. And so the fear for me is, how many times will I make a mistake in front of you and you guys are going, oh no, what are we going to do? You know, and then I'll stop a song and say, sorry, Mark, we got to start over. I completely blew that one. We got to, and you guys have to be gracious enough to say, yeah, Logan's learning, you know, sort of thing. That's going to happen because the style itself is unique enough and complicated enough that it demands a different level of participation on the leader's part. Mark or myself, we've been the two primary leaders, but there's been others as well. You know, it's different, and it's exciting. So that's kind of where I am right now.
Right. And so just for you guys, you're going to see start. So this is all going to begin to take place. The hard start date will be either the last week of December or the week before that, since he's gone. But him and Mark and Andy Janowski will be our primary leads as we transition to this new phase of our church life together. just so you guys know. So you're gonna begin to see him a little bit more than you have in the past.
Well, you've never seen me in the past. So you're gonna see me.
Okay, you're going to see him for the first time ever. Mark, what are your thoughts on your initial thoughts?
You're gonna let me talk after making fun of me?
Yeah, go ahead.
All right,
it's free game.
No, my first thought was, I make mistakes all the time, and I'm so glad Robert's gonna come make more mistakes. So I'm thrilled. Thank you, Robert.
Absolutely happy to help.
You know, God, one of the things I've learned is that most of our change that God wants us in our lives is not through really happy situations where we get to comfortably do whatever we want and then we change into the likeness of Christ. This morning, as an example, Josh and I talked earlier this week. We didn't have a bass player, and I'm like, oh, crap, I'm terrible. Sorry, I said a bad word probably.
Did you just say that?
Sorry. Oh, darn. And so I started practicing the bass, but then I found out we had a bass player. So then I'm going to practice some licks on my guitar because I'm really not a very good guitar player either. So I practiced for hours on my guitar so that I could come here. In fact, last night I said, hey, Tara, listen to this. I made this up, you know. And I let her listen to it. She said, that's great, Mark. And then I come, and this morning we had text from Janowski, who's supposed to play the bass, and he says, I'm not going to play the bass.
At 1 a.m. this morning.
At 1 a.m., yeah, whenever he was thrown up.
Then Linda walks in and goes, I had to put him down this morning at 1. And I was like, wait a minute, what? She said, I mean, I put him to bed.
So Andy's dead, but we're just going to move on. And Linda didn't seem too down. I don't understand.
Not at all.
She was pretty happy.
Not at all.
Coming. She was like praising God in response to the work that he was doing in her life.
All right.
So God takes
my fault.
God takes me out of my comfort zone this morning to do something I'm not very good at. And he reminds me that this isn't about me. And he just did that this morning. And so when I look at the leadership of this church going, we are going to follow God when God says do this, even if it means a little discomfort, it's an opportunity for all of us, I think, to say, God, what do you want to do in my life? Like, how do you want to change me in this? Right. So I'm excited.
Right. And for you guys, particularly you two, what does the traditional service and the folks in the traditional service, why is it good to see us come together? How do you view that? Both from a hymn perspective, but also just from a relational perspective, if there's kind of that mixing of generations that we hope to see. Yeah, you know, I mean, hold on, sorry.
Say it one more time, because we had about five
questions. I had seven questions within that one question. So with the mixing of our generation, the hope to mix generations, right, the 9 and the 1045, but also the addition of, I say the addition, the continued processing of singing of hymns, how do you think that is helpful to the congregation as a whole, particularly the younger generation?
I mean, there's multiple ways, but I think that the most clear way is the theology you find in the hymns aren't always present in the praise songs. I mean, that's not to say there's not theology in the praise songs. There is, but you find within the hymns a significant amount of theology, and sometimes you find really bad theology.
Right.
And having to say, you know, that's not something we're gonna sing. And so, picking out those songs and what we do in both congregations will be critical.
Mm-hmm.
And I think that's sort of how that fits together. You're going to learn some new hymns you've probably never sung before, and they're going to learn a lot of praise songs they've never sung before.
Right.
And I think that's kind of where it fits. As I've said earlier in the first service was that, you know, I kind of set this together, and everybody else sort of shook their head. We need to come up with about 60 songs, and 60 was a random number, that we could all learn. And so I sent out the Google Sheet to the four of us, and the next morning Andy had 43 on the list. So I had 3 on the list at that point in time, and half of those were hymns. You know, so I think it is about how do we put those together in such a way that we take the richness of the hymnology in the space in the past 2,000-plus years and the joys and the genuineness of praise songs.
Right. So to that, actually, what's funny is I was reading an article by, I don't know if anybody knows who Keith and Kristen Getty are. They're modern hymn writers, and somebody asked them, what's the difference between hymn writers and like the new kind of style of worship? And they said, really, in the past, the hymn writers were trying to teach us theology. So that way you would remember the songs that you sung, and by remembering those songs, you would be instructed in who God is, his love for you, and the gospel. And then now the songs tend to be much more, how do we make this sound good? Okay? And again, what they said was it's not right or wrong. And what I think we would hope to see, because in reality, I think the younger generation loves to sing hymns if they're done well. And so I'm excited to see where we go with this, to blend this reality of the beauty and the depth of the hymns, but with this really wonderful sound and full sound. Like, I think you even mentioned it in the first service. And so, Denise, what do you think?
Well, I think another thing about the hymns, besides the theology, which I agree is definitely an important part of it for us, but it's also the simplicity. Because, and not that we will always be doing hymns the same style as what we've been doing the first service, but sometimes when you can have a greater simplicity in what you're doing, for example, occasionally just the piano or whatever, sometimes that's easier for you to focus on those words that are so full of that theology. And so that's something to consider there. Is, you know, let's every now and then take out a little bit of the extra and just let us think about what are we singing.
That's good. And then finally, what's your hope for this in general, this transition? I mean, you've kind of already alluded to it, but go ahead.
I'll start. One of the things that I've started to recognize on the worship team, if you think you have a preference in worship, try to talk to a musician. Because we listen to music, we like music, we play music, we have opinions on what that should be. And one of the things that has been so encouraging is you have leaders up here, and I'm talking about everyone who comes up here on stage, who when presented, we've talked to all of them, when presented with this, they said, let's do it. And the first thing I think in their hearts, they've already set that aside. They're here to serve God. And so that's what I think. That's where we should all be when we do this. We should be coming in to just glorify God together as one body. Okay. That's my hope.
Okay. Yeah, you don't realize this, but the group that leads you at 10:45 show up every Sunday at 7 o'clock in the morning because they have to practice before we practice at 8 o'clock. They've been doing that for how many years? 5, 6 years. Not one of them complaining about having to get up at 6 o'clock in order to get here by 7 o'clock in order to practice from 7 to 8:15 and then go away and come back at 10:45 to lead you. They've been doing that. And so I think that's something that just shows you their heart for worship, their heart for leading, their desire to see you grow in your faith through that act of worship. And so one of the things they get is that I just show up till 8 o'clock now. You know, they get to sleep in for another hour.
I haven't told Robert, it's actually going to be 7:30.
Yeah, well, when I'm leading, it's 8 o'clock. So he can show up at 7:30 if he wants to. One of the other things that's interesting about the two different groups is that when we practice, and we've been singing together since 1981. I was gone for a period of time as well, but we've been singing that long. We'll practice. We'll start at 5 o'clock on Thursday night. We'll be done at 5:35 or 5:40 almost, because she's got to get home and have dinner, and I've got to get home. That's not the reason. But we practice very quickly because we know what we're going to do with the music. The music's familiar to us. We want to just make sure the transitions are correct, and we're done. These guys get warmed up in about 35 minutes of getting stuff put together, and then they think they're going to start practicing, and it takes them 2 hours to do it or an hour and a half or whatever. That's going to be an adjustment. My expectation of practice will be different. At the same time, I have to adjust to what they're used to. And so all those things are sort of moving parts you don't see because they're behind the scenes. Where the drummer comes in and comes out, where the bass comes in and comes out, all those things are things we work on. And we hope that when we come on Sunday morning that we lead you, that they're right, that they're not a distraction. I have led before where there were distractions, and that doesn't work. And so that's our goal, that's our hope, that's our prayer.
I think that one thing that I have seen over time, because even though I've been used to the 9 o'clock group and how we do things and working with the same people, I've had the opportunity over the last year to work with the 10:45 group to minister with them 2 or 3 times. And one thing that I've realized in that time is that their hearts are humble. And they're totally focused on worshiping God. And so I'm excited about being able to work with them in this way. But I'm also excited about our body being united in worship. More, it's not that we're disunited. I don't think that's a word. But it's not that we're that right now. But I think that there can be more unity as we do this way, as we all come together. We all have the same focus, even more so than before. We're still praising that same God that we always have in the past. But we have a little different format. So what? This is God. That's who this is about. I sound like a cheerleader. I'm sorry. But
that's, I like it.
He likes it. But that's what we have to focus on. That's what we have to think about.
Right. And I think, and this is my hope, and it follows along with what these guys are saying. It's that back to that Ephesians 4 passage. I therefore, prisoner of the Lord, urge you to walk in a manner worthy of the calling to which you've been called, with all humility and gentleness, with patience, bearing with one another in love, eager to maintain the unity of the Spirit and the bond of peace. There's one body and one Spirit, just as you were called to one hope that belongs to your call, one Lord, one faith, one baptism, one God and Father of us all, who is over all and in all. That's the hope. So thank you guys for coming up and sharing. And let's pray, and we will continue to worship today through song to complete our service. God, thank you for today. Thank you for your love and your grace to us in Christ. Thank you for uniting us first to yourself and your Son, and then uniting us together by your Spirit as not just people together, but as family. And so, God, may you make that more real over the coming weeks and months. May our united voices bring glory to your name. And may it declare your goodness to a watching world who is just so accustomed to seeing Christians, as Denise would say, disunited. And God, may they ask questions about why. May you move mightily in our midst, and may we love you more in the midst and at the end of this transition than even we do now. All glory and honor and praise to your name, Jesus. In your name we pray. Amen.